Will you join me in a word of prayer as we open up this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to listen to these songs that you have given to David, to sing along with these worship songs that we sang, Lord God. And I thank you that now we get to learn from your word, from the Bible, those instructions that you've given all of us for life, Lord God. And today I just ask that you will ready our hearts to receive what you're going to speak to us, Lord. Lord, that you will make us receptive to this word today. And God, I ask that you will take these feeble human words that I am about to speak, and that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will make them worthwhile. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I came across an interesting story about a woman in Valencia, Spain, named Rosario Marat. Now, the interesting thing about her is she wanted nothing more in life than to own a sailboat. That was her absolute dream. She wanted this sailboat. And so for 12 long years, she scrimped and she saved her earnings until one day she was able to buy that dream sailboat that she always wanted. And so she went in and she paid her money. She got this sailboat. They asked her where she wanted it delivered. And she said, you know what, just bring it over to my place. So the delivery crew, they showed up at her place. Well, where do you want us to put this? Well, why don't you bring it around into the backyard? You can put it in the backyard. Okay, that's kind of interesting. And so they dropped it off in the backyard. Well, after they dropped it off, she then phoned up some other guys and had them come up and had them permanently install this sailboat in her backyard. She had her dream sailboat. But she decided that she wanted it to be the fixture of her home. She wanted it just to sit there on dry land. And later on, when Senora Marat was questioned as to why she had permanently installed a boat on land, this is what she said. She said, "I'm terrified of the water." Now, while she may have been able to make this dream purchase of hers, her fear of water prevented her from using the sailboat to do the very thing that it had been designed to do. She, because of her fear, she was unable to take this dream sailboat and use it in the way that she could have gained the most out of it, the way that she could have experienced something great, and instead it just sat in her yard. But here's the thing. Well, we might laugh at the silliness of this situation. We might even chuckle and shake our heads at this idea of somebody owning a boat and yet doing absolutely nothing with it because they're afraid of water. I want you to consider this. Don't we all do the same thing every single day? You have a dream. But you can't get yourself to get started in that dream because you're afraid that you will fail. Or God's told you to speak to someone. God has told you to go and do something. But you hum and you haw and fear holds you back until the moment has passed. The opportunity is gone. Or you want to speak up about some kind of injustice, but fear of opinion or fear about having to deal with someone's outburst has kept you silent. See, I think every one of us, we serve Christ. But so often we set him up as a fixture in our lives instead of allowing him to actually enter into our lives and change us, to give us the strength and the boldness that we need to do as he would have us do. See, whatever fear has taken hold in your life, it is going to hold you back. And it's time to start overcoming your fears and begin to move forward in your life. Here's the big thing to remember this week. Your fear can hold you back, but Jesus will help you forward. Your fear can hold you back, but Jesus will help you forward. Let's look at how Jesus helped the disciples overcome their fears after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. Thus far on Good Friday, we've talked about Jesus going to the cross to pay the price for the wrong things that we've done, those things called sin. Then on Easter, we talked about the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and that believing in him is the only way to receive the free gift of forgiveness for our sins. And then last week, we talked about Jesus appearing to two disciples on the road to Emmaus and about the fact that Jesus is always with us. And now we come to John chapter 20, verse 19 to 23, where the Apostle John records the following event, and you can feel free to read along with me. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So I want you to picture with me this situation. There the disciples are. They've been told by some of the women of their group that Jesus is gone. In fact, they've been told by some of the women of their group that Jesus is alive, that they've seen him. Peter and John have run out to the tomb. They've seen the empty tomb. They've seen the grave clothes neatly lying there with no body inside of them. And now here John brings something new to light. He brings to light the fact that the disciples are gathered together, but that they have the doors locked because they're afraid. Now, did they have reason to be afraid? I think they probably had reason to be afraid. Their master, Jesus, has just been arrested and killed by a mob. Who knows if they're next? Who knows what they intended for the disciples? However, was their fear helping them to serve Christ in the way that they had been taught over the past 3 years with him? I don't think so. Their fear wasn't really helping them to go forth and do what they had been taught to do. See, they're afraid. But then Jesus comes onto the scene, and between verse 19 of this passage and the beginning of the book of Acts, we see a shift take place in the disciples, and it seems that they managed to overcome their fears. See, your fear can hold you back, but with Jesus, Jesus can help you move forward. Now, I believe that a lot of us in Christ's church are being held back by our fears. I think that a lot of us are like the John 20 verse 19 disciples. We're locked away, we're hidden away, we're cowering in fear. We are afraid of what it will look like to go out and do what God has called us to do. But our goal should be to become like the disciples of Acts, people who boldly go forth proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, people who are willing to go even to death in order to do what God has called us to do. And so today, let me quickly point out some of the consequences of being controlled by your fears. First of all, fear causes you to doubt yourself and not reach your full potential. See, sitting in that locked room, I'm sure the disciples were wondering right then, everything that we have done in this last 3 years, is it real? Did all that stuff really happen? Did what Jesus say, was he telling the truth? So much confusion, so much doubt. But you know, I think as long as that fear and that doubt was roiling around within them, I don't think that they would have been able to live up to the fullest potential that they had in Christ. See, for us, fear can cause that doubt. It can cause us to doubt our relationship with God. It can cause us to doubt whether or not God actually spoke to us that one time. It can cause us to doubt whether we're actually doing what God has called us to do, or if we're capable of doing what we know that he wants us to do. Here's the second thing fear does. Fear cripples you and keeps you from what God has called you to. It can cripple you. In Matthew chapter 28, we're told that Jesus appeared to some women who were on their way back from the tomb, and he gave them a message for the disciples. He said, "Tell my brothers to go to Galilee." But here the disciples are huddled together in Jerusalem. The doors are locked. They're not sure what to do. And you might say, well, maybe they were just getting ready to go. But it doesn't seem to me like they were packing their bags. It doesn't seem to me like they were getting ready to leave, because those guys from Emmaus, they knew where they were going to find the disciples. They knew that they were still going to be there, that there wasn't going to be just an empty room. So instead, they're just hiding. They're not going to do what God has called them to do. It crippled them. It kept them hiding away. Now, how many of you have had something in your life where God has spoke to you? He said, now it's time to go and do this thing. But because of your fear, whatever the fear may be, you've just dragged your feet on obeying, and you found this excuse and that excuse, and you said, well, God, you know, I can't go until my budget hits here, and I can't do this thing until, you know, you speak to me like this. Or we become like Gideon and we start laying out fleeces. You know, and we say, God, you know, I'm gonna put this bucket outside, and I'm gonna flip it upside down. And if in the morning when I lift up the bucket, water comes spilling out, then I'll know that you've sent me to go. How many of you have been failing to share the good news of Jesus because fear is crippling you? Listen, it happens. It happens all the time. I fall to fear all the time. Where God has said, go and speak to this person. And I go, Oh, good, they left. But is that what God has for us? Third thing that fear does, fear causes you to hide your true self from others. Fear caused the disciples to hide from the Jews. And our fear can cause us to hide who we are from those around us. See, it may drive you to hide your faith from others. You worry about what they'll say and if they'll reject you, and so you never bring up in conversation that you are a Christ follower. They just think that you're a really nice person, but they can't figure out why, because you won't bring it up. You live next to your neighbors, but they have no idea. You've been living next to them for 10 years, and they don't know that you go to church on Sunday, because you make up some excuse, or you sneak out the back door. But you know, when you have this kind of fear, it makes it a little bit hard to go out and share the good news of Jesus. It makes it a little bit hard to go out and let people know that there is someone out there, someone who created them, who loves them, and who wants to forgive them and give them eternal life. Fear may also push you to hide your sins and your struggles. You know, when we hide the things that we're going through from others, especially from the people in our church family, it can make it very difficult to defeat those sins and those struggles. You want to know why Satan loves to make us hide our sins from each other? Here it is. It's because it is almost impossible to defeat sin and temptation when you try to do it on your own. There's a reason why we're supposed to gather together as believers. It's because we're stronger together. But if we hide things from one another, if we are worried and ashamed of what our Christian brothers and sisters are going to say to us if they find out that we did such and such, or that we struggle with such and such and we need help, then we're going to have a real hard time of it. As well, when we hide our failings, when we hide those tough times that we're going through, it can lead us to put on a fake exterior. We become who we are not. We become hypocrites. And who knows that nobody likes a hypocrite? Thankfully, while your fear can hold you back, Jesus will help you forward. And with Christ, we can stand above our fears, and we can move forward in what Jesus Christ has for us. So today, let's look at four ways that you can overcome your fears. The first one, know that you are never beyond God's reach. For goodness sakes, the disciples are in a locked room. They're hiding away, and yet they're not away from God. Suddenly, Jesus is in their midst, and it's not just some spiritual form of Jesus. This is the physical Jesus, and he shows them the holes in his hands and in his side. I don't know if the feet was in there too, but I know the holes in the hand and the side. See, when they were in that room, I'm pretty sure that they were thinking, you know, God's abandoned us. Where is he in all of this? What's going on? Maybe they were even wondering, were we following God at all? Or did this guy just lead us astray? What's been going on here? But even in their hiding place, even in that locked room, Jesus was there. You know, you may think that you've gone too far off the reservation for God to love you or to save you. But the fact of the matter is, you can never go too far for the grace of God. You may think that you're unworthy. You may think that God can't see you, or that he turns his face from you because he doesn't like what he sees. But you need to understand today that you are never beyond God's reach. No matter what has happened, you are never beyond God's reach. He always sees you. He loves you. And no matter what, no matter where you are, no matter what is going on, he can help you through it. Second way to overcome your fear, put your faith in Jesus Christ. The disciples were afraid. Up to this point, they hadn't fully comprehended what Jesus is up to. They didn't completely believe everything that Jesus had told them. But then Jesus showed up offering peace. When the disciples saw him and they saw his healed wounds, they were glad it was him and they believed. They fully put their faith in him. Now, if they hadn't believed, would they have found peace? If they hadn't believed, would they have come to be the people that we read later that they become? No. No, it was because of that encounter with Jesus Christ that they found peace. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and in that gift of eternal life that he offers us, if we will believe in his name and commit to follow him, then we will find out what peace truly is. Then we will find out what real peace is. See, salvation, and what I mean by salvation is being saved from the eternal death that we deserve because of Jesus Christ being saved from that, brings us the truest kind of peace, which is peace from the Father in Jesus Christ. That's the truest kind of peace. We can talk about peace being about peace from war. We can talk about peace being a nice, cozy feeling inside, but the truest form of peace is the peace that we receive in Jesus Christ. And so today, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, or if your faith has been slipping lately, in a moment, I'm going to invite you up to be able to just speak to him and thank him for his gift of salvation and put your faith in him in just a minute here. But here's the third way that we can overcome our fear, and that's to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When the disciples believed in Jesus, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. See, just as God breathed into the first man, Adam's nostrils, and brought him to life, Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into those that believe in him, and he brings us to new life in Christ. When you accept Jesus as your master and savior, you receive new life through the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And as you let him, the Holy Spirit begins to change you to be more and more like Jesus. But you see, there's more. Earlier, I referenced the disciples as we see them in Acts versus now. What's the difference? The difference is that at the beginning of the book of Acts, the disciples are meeting together when the Holy Spirit fell powerfully on them and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and were filled completely. And on this day called Pentecost, the disciples were given gifts for ministry. They were given courage and boldness and the tools necessary to spread the good news of Jesus throughout the world. This here, it was a world-changing event, but what we need to realize is that the Holy Spirit's work in our lives did not end that day. The Holy Spirit just didn't decide, you know what, I've had enough of working amongst you all. I've had enough of empowering you for ministry. I think I'm just going to take a holiday until Jesus comes back. Okay, the Holy Spirit is still at work today. And we can still receive great power from the Holy Spirit to overcome our fears and to be able to go forward boldly and courageously today. And so as well, at the end of service this morning, if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you would like to pray that he would just come upon you powerfully and give you peace and courage and boldness, we're going to give you that opportunity. Here's the fourth way that you can overcome your fears. Set out on the task given to you by God. Sometimes the best way to overcome our fears is to realize that God has given us a job to do. To realize that there's something that we need to just get up and go and do. See, he sent us just like he sent those disciples, and he will help us to accomplish what needs to be done if we will only step out in faith and do it. Consider this. What task has God given you to do? What in your life do you feel like God is leading you to do? Maybe you're in the midst of it right now. Maybe you are acting it out. Or maybe you've been holding yourself back and you've just been saying, I don't know that I want to do that. I'm afraid. You know, if you have a specific thing that God has been calling you to do, go out and do it. And if you don't, here's one that he's given all of us, to go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them and teach them. How often do we fear doing something until we actually do it, and then we say, that wasn't that bad? I remember when I was a kid, and my dad would have me up on the top of the tallest slide at the playground, and he'd say, you know, it's time for you to slide down this thing, and I'd just be petrified. I'd be like, but you know, the railings are only this tall, and if I go down this slide, this is literally the kind of kid that I was, if I go down this slide and I shift my weight too far to one direction, I might fall off, and look how far down that is. Or what if you don't catch me at the end of the slide, and I just go woof off the end and land on my butt? I mean, this is dangerous, Dad. No, you can do it, just come down. And so finally, I'd let myself go, and I'd come to the end of the slide, and I go, that was awesome! Let's do it again! The fear is gone. See, when it comes to overcoming your fears, really, I think that the common thread in it all is obeying God. Doing what God has for us to do. And sure, your fear can hold you back, but you need to understand today that Jesus will help you forward. David, will you come back and just begin to play? I want to close today with a warning. Sometimes we live in fear because we think that stepping out and doing what God has for us is more dangerous. But sometimes our fears can be the very thing that leads to our downfall. In Brisbane, Australia, there was a man named Peter Reimers who lived each and every day in complete terror of crocodiles. This 35-year-old man was so scared of crocodiles, he would never wade into water that was more than 3 inches deep. He refused. However, despite all of his fear and all of his precautions, Mr. Reimers was eaten one day by a 15-foot-long crocodile with 3 legs and no tail in far north Queensland, Australia. After a long investigation, they concluded that the crocodile had become aware of Reimer's habits while he was on a hunting trip and had stalked him for days until finally, just before the hunting trip was over, it took him. All those precautions, living in fear every single day, and then the very thing that he feared took him. See, sometimes when you fear something, you can either live your life and you can go out and you can live it the way that God wants you to live it. And whether the thing that you fear happens or not, at least you've done what God wants you to do. Or you can live your life every single day in fear, and you can live hiding and cowering and never amounting to much of anything until you get to the point where the only thing people remember about you is that the very thing that you lived in fear of is the thing that caused your end. So let's stop letting fear control us, and let's give ourselves to Jesus. Let's give ourselves to his goals for us, because listen, your fears can hold you back, but Jesus will help you forward. And so today I'm going to pray, and after I pray, I'm going to invite those of you that are maybe wishing to accept Christ as your friend, as your Savior, forward. And I want those of you that are wanting to do that, you're going to stand over here in just a moment. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you that we can trust in you. I thank you that you can give us the strength to overcome our fears, Lord God. And God, I just ask that you will begin to raise such a courage and such a boldness within us that we will be able to go forward boldly and do what you have for us. Lord, that you will strengthen us, that you will strengthen our resolve. Lord, that you will help us to find the giftings of the Spirit that we need in order to be able to go out and make an impact on our community and on our family, Lord God. Lord, I ask that those things that have been holding us back, those things that we've been fearful of, the things that we have been in anxiety over, not sure of whether or not you're going to take care of us or what's coming next, Lord, that you will be with us in those times and that you will give us the peace that we so desire. And that we will all come to understand that our peace comes from you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. This morning, as David sings, "It is well." Like I said, I want those that are wishing Christ to accept Christ.